Man, thank you, Jason. The old rugged cross made a difference. Amen. That's right. You can be turning in your Bibles to Psalm 119, and I'll catch up with you in a few moments. Psalm 119. And I've been preaching to you a little bit these past few services on how to resist the attacks of the enemy. And that is, we've been learning, as Peter has written to us, that we have an adversary, and that is an enemy, and of course we know that it is the devil. And that he is like a roaring lion, and he is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And that you and I need to be able to recognize the attacks of the enemy. When I say recognize the attacks of the enemy, just by way of reminder to you, and that is, I'm talking about being able to recognize the temptations that the enemy throws our way. I'm talking about being able to recognize the torment that the enemy is causing. That is the tricks that the enemy also is laying out there for us. He is a liar, and he'll try to deceive and trick you. The traps of the enemy that he's trying to trap individuals in, into a lifestyle that they can't get free from. And also the tools of the enemy, recognizing the tools that the devil uses to operate in our lives so that we can deal with those. And we need to be able to recognize the attacks of the enemy so that we can then be able to resist the attacks of the enemy. Resisting the attacks of the enemy means that you and I are going to be moving forward for the glory of God and in our walk with God and our service for God, no matter what, even in the face of the enemy who's out to, whose purpose is to destroy us. Resisting the attacks of the enemy means not yielding to his temptations. It means not bowing under his torment, not falling for his tricks, not stepping into his traps. It means not allowing in his tools. We see his tools begin to work, that you and I shut the door on that, resisting the attacks of the enemy. And we've been discovering some essentials. That is, that there are some things that are essential when it comes to resisting the attacks of the enemy. And we went through several of them, and we've gotten down to the point now where we're dealing with the scriptures that we must embrace. If you and I are going to be able to resist the attacks of the enemy, then we must embrace the Word of God. And I just want to remind you, as in the service this morning, about that great warrior in the Old Testament. And that is the man named Joshua. You remember him. He was the one that God used after the death of Moses to take the Israelites into the Promised Land. And he led them to battle against the enemies of God. And we find that he was the one who led them around the city of Jericho so that the walls began to fall down. And he was the one that led them to victory as they began to conquer the land of Canaan and begin to divide the land. And just by way of reminder to you, it is to Joshua that God spoke in Joshua chapter number 1 and told him that if he was going to be successful and prosperous, then he must not turn away from the book of the law, that is, from what God had revealed to Moses in the law, that he can't turn to the right hand, he cannot turn to the left hand, that his focus has got to be on the law. Listen to what God said to him by way of reminder: only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In other words, Joshua, if you're going to be victorious and successful in conquest of the land, then you must be focused on the word of God that God gave to Moses. The law that was revealed to him has got to be the focus of Joshua's life. And I just really believe that if that's true of God's soldiers in the Old Testament, it's also true of God's soldiers in the New Testament. And that is, if you and I are going to be victorious in this battle that we're in, that is, in battling with the great enemy of our soul, that is the devil, then the Word of God, the Scriptures, must be the central focus of our lives. And the Word of God must indeed be that our life is wrapped around and centered around. That is, we must embrace the Scriptures. Let me just remind you from the service this morning that when I use the term embrace the Scriptures, what I mean by that, because what I don't want you to think that I mean is just carrying around the Bible. That is, embracing the Bible is just holding it in your hand and carrying it around. That's not what I mean by embracing the Scriptures. What I mean by embracing the Scriptures is I mean searching the Scriptures, just like Jesus told the Jews to do in John chapter number 5, to search the Scriptures. And just like we found out that the believers in Berea did, the Bible says they were searching the Scriptures daily to whether find out whether or not these things were so or not. I'm talking about you and I being in this book, and the Word of God gives getting in us. That is, you and I searching this book. I mean, we're reading it to find out what it says, and we're studying it to find out what it means. We're listening to it and absorbing it. That means when I sit down in Bible study and church service, guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be listening to what is being said instead of drifting off into la-la land. And I'm talking about searching the Scriptures. That is, that my mind is on this book. But also mean being saturated with the Scriptures. I mean, this book that my mind has been on has gotten on the inside of me and began to saturate my life. And that is, it's become the focus of my mind. It's become the adoration of my heart. My life is now revolving around this book, and that is the Word of God. I love the very first Psalm. Listen to Psalm 1 and verse number 1. It's a warning about the battle that we're in against sin. And then it gives us the opposite of that. Listen to this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But instead of that, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, that is in God's word, that he meditate day and night, and he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, in the psalmist recognized that the opposite of walking in the way of the sinner and sitting in the seat of the scornful, the opposite of that is delighting in the law of the Lord. And what that indicates to you and I is indeed that our life must be saturated by the Word of God, so that the Word of God is not only the focus of our mind, but it is the delight of our life. That our life is saturated with the Word of God. I like what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13 about the Word of God. Listen to this verse. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." He said, "I'm thanking God for you, and here's why. Because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God." Listen, "which effectually worketh also in you that believe." In other words, here's what he's saying to the Thessalonians. One of the reasons why I'm so thankful to you is because when I came preaching the word of God, you received it. And you received it not just as the word of men, but as it is the word of God. And the word of God that you received by faith is effectually working in you. That is, God was at work in the lives of these believers, and he is operating in their lives. He's at work in their lives through the Word. Here's what I want you to see, and that is when it comes to being saturated with the Scriptures, I'm talking about the fact that the Word of God has become the delight of our life, Psalm 1, and that it is that which is at work on the inside of us. I mean, the Word of God is not just information for us, it is transformation in us. That is, the Word of God is doing a work in us. It is changing us from the inside out. The Word of God has filled our life, and it is radically transforming our lives since we have believed, and the reason why is because we are saturated with the Word of God. One of the reasons why so many believers aren't growing, and one of the reasons why that they're not being transformed is because they're not full of the Word of God. The Word of God is the means by which God the Holy Spirit operates in our life to transform us from the inside out, and that is to change us into the image of Christ. I'm talking about what it means to embrace the Scriptures. I'm talking about searching the Scriptures. I'm talking about being saturated with the Scriptures. We're talking about sharing the Scriptures, and that is that we're so full of the Word of God that it just kind of oozes out of us every once in a while. Whenever we're around people at work, we just can't help it. We get to talking about our Lord and about the Word of God and what He's revealed, and the reason why is because it is so filling our lives. And when we're with the family, or whenever we're out in the workplace and we're meeting people here and meeting people there, and when we gather with believers at church, we just want to talk about the Word of God. I'm talking about you and I embracing this book, the Word of God. If you're going to listen, if you're going to be able to resist the attacks of the enemy, you've got to embrace the Scriptures. Searching the Word, saturated with the Word, and I'll tell you, sharing the Word of God. Well, I'm going to give you, I began in the service this morning, giving you some reasons why. Why is it true that if we're going to resist the attacks of the enemy, we must embrace the Scriptures? We began looking at what the Word of God is. I said to you that I was going to give you the top 10 reasons why. that we must embrace the Scriptures if we're going to resist the attacks of the enemy. And I gave you half of the load this morning. Amen? And we discovered these truths. We discovered the reason why is because the Scriptures, the Bible, is the seed that gives life. And that is when God brought you into the kingdom, when you were born again, according to 1 Peter 1, when you were born again, God began that process by planting the seed of His Word in your heart. You were born again by the Word of God. If it wasn't for the Word of God, you wouldn't even be saved. That is, you would still be, listen, you would still be lost, you would still be separated from God, and you would still be, listen, be controlled by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and on your way to eternal separation from God in hell. The reason why this book is so important, and the reason why it must be embraced if we're going to resist the attacks of the enemy, is this is the book that is the seed that gave us life, that gave us eternal life. It's also the food that grows soldiers. And we discovered that indeed the Bible says as newborn babes we should desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. That is, if God is going to grow baby Christians into mature soldiers, this is the means by which He will do it. If you're going to grow, it is going to be because of this book. We discovered thirdly, this book, the Bible, is the light that exposes Satan. It's the lamp for our feet, a light for our path, and that is so that you and I don't walk into the traps of the enemy, so that we don't step into his snares, so that you and I, listen, aren't deceived by his lies. This is the book that gives us light for our life, that exposes the devil and all of his tricks and all of his lies and all of his traps. We discovered that it is the sword that cuts deep. Whenever Paul was writing about the whole armor of God, he said you need to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 4:12 that this sword is a two-edged sword, and that is, it cuts deep right into the very heart of hearts and divides asunder even the joints and the marrow, the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is the word. This book is the sword that cuts deeper than any other. Listen, if anybody's heart is ever going to be reached, it's going to have to be with this sword. It's the only one that cuts deep enough to get to the soul of an individual. That's the reason why that if you and I are going to be able to resist the attacks of the enemy, then you and I have to be armed with this sword, which is the Word of God. And then we discovered also, fifthly, that it is the breath that equips warriors. We looked at 2 Timothy chapter number 3, where we discovered that the Word of God that young Timothy had heard since the time he was a child, that this book, the Word of God, is divinely inspired. It is given by inspiration of God, which means it is God-breathed. That is the divine breath. Its source is the Spirit of God. It was given to us by the Holy Spirit through men of God as they were moved upon by the Spirit of God. It is the divine breath. And he says, Timothy, listen, if you'll stay in the book, if you'll stay in the Word, it will prepare you, it will equip you, and it will profit you in the areas of doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, and you will be perfect. That is, you'll be a mature man of God, and you will be equipped to be able to do every good work, every battle that has to be fought, and every good work that God has purposed for us to do. You will be equipped to do it if you'll continue in this Word. This book is the breath of God. That is the breath of God that equips warriors. And that's the reason why. That if you and I are going to be able to resist the attacks of the enemy, then we must. We must embrace the Word of God. So let's move on now to the other five reasons why. I gave you top 10. I gave you the first five. Here's the other five reasons why we must embrace the Scriptures if you and I are going to be able to resist the attacks of the enemy. Number 6, this book, the Word of God, is the secret that prevents sin. Notice in Psalm 119, many of you are already there. And look at that verse that many of you are already familiar with. Psalm 119 and verse number 11. Listen to what the psalmist writes. He says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Some of you already knew that verse, didn't you? And that is, that's one of those verses that when we're growing up in church that we memorize from time to time. And that is that the Word of God I've hidden down there in my heart. That is something hidden down on the inside of me. Hey, I got a secret on the inside of me, don't you? Yeah, there's something hidden down in there. Have you ever had a secret that is something hidden away somewhere that you didn't tell anybody about? Why, some of you already been thinking about it, have you? Let's see, it's October, and then there's November, and then there's December, right? And some of you been thinking about that just a little bit, that is, about Christmas that's coming up. I saw Dennis, he's getting his beard all growed out and getting ready for all of that. And some of you been out shopping just a little bit. My wife, grandkids, shut your ears. My wife went out shopping. She picked up a couple of things. And you know what she did? She hid them at the house. And she might have bought something for me and hid it. I'll look around a little bit later and see if I can find it. Amen. And there's just some things hidden away that you cannot see with your eyes. She's got them hid somewhere. And they are, it's a secret, amen. It is a secret until that time that Christmas Day gets here. And then we'll find out what the secret is. I'm going to say something to you tonight. And that is, if you're going to be able to live a victorious life, you got to get some things hidden away in your heart. I mean, tucked away deep down on the inside. And what you've got to get, what you have to have hidden down in there is the book. I mean, the Word of God. I'm talking about the Scriptures. Listen, if what you have hidden away in your heart is ungodliness and unrighteousness and filthiness on the inside of your thoughts and in your heart and in your mind and in your soul, if that's what's hidden away on the inside of you, listen to me now. You're not going to be able to live a life that prevents sin. You're going to step right into it. But if you'll, listen, if you'll hide away on the inside of you, they'll come, listen, the Word of God, by memorizing it, by learning the principles of the Word, if you'll hide it in your heart, if your life and heart will be full of the Word of God, if you'll hide it away down in there, there'll come a day when you'll need to get it out. Amen. Just like that Christmas gift, we hide it away until the right time, and at the appropriate time, we get it out, and it's there, and we're ready. Listen to me now. You need to hide the Word of God in your heart, because there's coming a day whenever the devil is going to throw a curveball at you, when he's going to tempt you, and you're going to need this book hidden in your heart. You may not have a copy of the Bible with you, but listen, you've got it on the inside of you, in your heart, and you will be equipped to be able to deal with sin. If you'll hide the Word in your heart, it'll prevent sin. In other words, about the time the devil tries to lie to you, you'll know he's lying to you, and you know the reason why. You got the Word on in your heart. And listen to me, about the time the devil has a trap laid for you, you know what you'll think to yourself? That's one of those traps that the devil lays. I'm not going to step into it. And the reason why is because you've been hiding the Word in your heart. That is, if you'll hide the Word of God in your heart, it'll help to be able to prevent sin in your life. And so that's the reason why that I need to study the Bible. That's the reason why that I need to be in the Word, in Bible study, and preaching, and listening to it every time I can. That's why I need that the Word of God get in me and do its work on the inside of me, get into my heart. I need to hide it away on the inside of me. And the reason why is because it prevents sin. That is, if you hide the Word of God in your heart, it'll help you not to step into those areas that the devil has laid for you. That is, those areas of sin. Hide it away in your heart. This is the secret that prevents sin. It is this book. You say, Pastor, I like to come and hear the Word. I'm not talking about just hearing the Word. That's a good start. But now we're talking about hiding the Word, aren't we? Not only do I need to hear it, but now I need to hide it. I need to get it on the inside of me, tucked away in there. That is where I know where it's at. So that when I need to get it out, it's there. Listen to me, that's what you need to do as well in your life. If you're going to be victorious, you're going to have to start hiding the Word of God down in that secret place on the inside of you, in your heart. And it'll help you with sin. It helps prevent sin in the life of the believer. And that's what this battle's about, isn't it? Getting victory over sin in our life and ungodliness in our life. And so that's what the Bible's so important. That is, if you and I are going to resist the attacks of the enemy, we've got to embrace this book, because the Word of God is the secret that prevents sin. It's the secret that prevents sin. Sometimes whenever you're watching advertisements, it's becoming sometimes hilarious and other times not so much so, about those who are advertising their product. And they have the secret that's going to completely change your life, don't they? I mean, they've discovered something that is going to radically transform your life. Listen, it may just be a flashlight, but it's going to change your life. It will. And the great news about it is, if you'll simply place your order, you won't just get one, but you'll get two. Listen, it's the secret that changes everything in your life. And plus shipping and handling, of course. But everybody's got the secret. But I want to tell you that there really is a secret that you can hide away in your heart that it really help you live a victorious life. And it is this book, the Word of God. Reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating on it, allowing it to do its work on the inside of you, the Word of God, getting in you, tucked away in your heart. Well, we've talked about how that you and I can resist the attacks of the enemy by embracing this book. And the reason why is because it really is, this book, the Word of God, the secret that prevents sin. Number 7, it is also the water that cleanses within. Look at Psalm 119 and verse number 9. There's a question that is asked and the answer is given. And that is, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You see, Pastor, but I tell you, there are times in my life that if I step into sin and my life gets dirty and my mind gets ungodly and sin gets on the inside of me and I'm not always what I ought to be, and I know that. So how is it that a young man or a young woman or an older person will go ahead and bring that in there? How is it that we can cleanse our ways, our lifestyle? And that is the answer to the question, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so the Bible tells us, not only now do we need to hear the word, and not only do we need to hide the word, but now we're going to have to heed the word, aren't we? And that is it, we're going to have to take the word of God into our life and begin to practice the very word of God, practicing the scripture into our life. That is, we're going to have to listen, we're going to have to hear it, we're going to have to hide it, and then we're going to have to heed it so that it's being worked out in our everyday life. And that is the means by which you and I can experience what the Bible described here as the cleansing of our way. The way is a phrase that would be used to describe our lifestyle. That is the manner in which we're living, the direction in which we're going. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I need to get cleaned up, don't you? Every once in a while, I need to get a bath and get cleaned up. And I'm not just talking about this body. I'm talking about the inner man. That is it. I need to be cleansed on the inside. I need God to clean up my attitude once in a while. Amen. And need God to clean up my thought life every once in a while. And here's what I'm learning. And that is that the soap that you can use, the agent that God uses, the means by which God cleanses us is His word. It's His word, ladies and gentlemen. Notice what the Bible says in John 15 when Jesus was talking to His disciples about how that they can live a fruitful life. He said to them, listen, I'm the vine. And John 15, He says, I'm the vine, and my Father's the husbandman, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purges or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, it's just like having a fruit tree, and He says that I'm the vine, and you're the branches, and if you're going to bear fruit, you got to have the life of the vine in you. And every once in a while now, in order to make that fruit tree grow real good, the husbandman, the farmer, he has to prune up that tree a little bit. That is, he has to cut off the dead branches and even some of the live, so that the fruit will produce even better. Those of you that have a fruit tree, you know what I mean by that. And that is that every once in a while, you got to prune those things up if you're going to have the best quality of fruit. And Jesus said, I want to bear fruit through you. And listen, but every once in a while, you're going to have to get pruned up and cleaned up. You say, Pastor, how does the Lord do that in our life? He tells us in verse number 3, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. How is it that the Lord Jesus cleans up or prunes up His people? It is through the word that He has spoken. Through the word. Notice over in Ephesians 5, when Paul was writing to the believers at Ephesus, he was comparing marriage, that is the union of marriage, the man and the woman, their relationship in marriage, to our relationship with the Lord Jesus. That just as a man and a woman are one, even so a husband and wife are one. And the reason why marriage is so important is not only because of the pleasure that it brings to those who are married. Listen to me, not only because of the children that come into the world through those marriages, but I tell you the reason why is because they are a reflection of the relationship between Christ and His church. So He says to the husbands in verse 25, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Notice verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. That is the Lord Jesus. He loves His church. He's redeemed His church. And He's also sanctifying and cleansing His people. And notice how He's doing it. With the washing of water by the word. So that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. I tell you, the Lord is at work in our life, cleaning us up. He's washing us, cleaning us up, removing the spots and the stains in our life. There's plenty in my life, and I have a feeling that there's a few in your life as well. And the Lord is at work on the inside of us, and His purpose is to make us holy. His purpose is to clean us up and to cleanse us. And the means, ladies and gentlemen, by which He is doing that is by the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God is that that God uses to clean us up. This cleansing that is being written about here is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, operating through the Word, whereby He gives us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and conforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. Listen, He wants to clean you up. And it is the Word is the means by which He cleans us up. If you're going to live in victory over the attacks of the enemy, if you're going to be able to resist him, then you need to have a clean heart and a clean soul. And it is the Word of God, that is the means by which God sets us apart, cleans us up, irons out the wrinkles, and makes us the kind of church that He intended for us to be. I'm trying to get us to see why it is that we have to embrace the Scriptures if we're going to be able to resist the attacks of the enemy. And what we've been discovering this evening, that this book, the Word of God, is the secret that prevents sin. And it's the water that cleanses within. Did you know that it's also the hammer that can destroy strongholds? There's a passage over in Jeremiah 23 that I really like. Let me read it to you. It's talking about the Word of God in Jeremiah 23 and verse number 29. Listen to this verse. It says this. God's asking a question. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. I like that image, don't you? God is saying that my word is like a fire that consumes and like a hammer that destroys. It's talking about the power of the Word of God. That is, when you and I think of power, we think of the power of fire or the power of a hammer. That is, that can break a rock into pieces. Now today, when we're busting up rocks, whenever those who are trying to bust up rocks, they might use dynamite or some other kind of explosive. But in that day, they used a big hammer, and some of you still do. It may be a jackhammer, but nevertheless, we use hammers to bust up rock. Listen to me now. The Bible says here the Word of God is powerful like that. It's powerful like fire, and it is powerful like a hammer that can bust a rock into pieces. The power of the Word of God. You remember last Sunday night I was preaching to you a little bit from 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 about these strongholds that the devil builds up. That is, the areas in which the enemy has conquered. There are strongholds in our culture around us. That is, the devil has areas of our culture that he has completely defeated and from which he is attacking and trying to destroy this nation. I'm going to say it again. The devil is out to destroy this nation that has enjoyed such religious liberty and freedom and sent out missionaries all over the world, and he has already strongholds built within the culture itself to be able to destroy this nation. And listen to me now. If there's not some kind of a real spiritual awakening, we will, some of us will, and especially the younger ones here, they are going to witness the judgment of God upon our country, and they're going to see the destruction that's already taking place continue in our country. Listen to me, and you say, Pastor, is there anything that can destroy the strongholds of the devil in our culture? You know, we think about the strongholds of the devil in our churches that are preaching a watered-down message, have thrown the Bible away and say we don't need it anymore, don't even believe that this book is inspired, that Christ died on the cross for our sins, that He was really virgin-born. That is, there are churches all across this country that have abandoned what the Bible says and the Bible itself. Ladies and gentlemen, that are preaching and teaching a false message, a lie that has been designed by the great deceiver. Listen, all over our country and throughout our world, there are those that are talking about God in terms that the Bible does not reveal. Is there any hope in the religious realm of our day of being able to destroy the strongholds that the devil has built? When you think about our families and the areas in which the devil has built strongholds in our families, areas that he has defeated and from which he is launching attacks, when you think about the strongholds that the devil has built in our family life, he is trying to destroy the family that is today. There are many that are not even sure what a family really even is. Now, the Bible is clear about what it is, but we're confused about what it is. And the reason why is because there is a liar and a deceiver that has a stronghold in family life. Is there anything that will be able to bring down those strongholds? And then you think about your life, and I think about my life. And that is, maybe there are areas in our personal life, in our thought life. That is, there are areas in our belief system, in our thought patterns, in which the devil has an area of your life that he has conquered on the inside, and from which he launches attacks into other areas of our life. And we ask the question, is there any way that I'll ever get victory in this area of my life? And I say to you that God has a big hand that can destroy every stronghold that the devil has built. You see, Pastor, what is it? It is this book, the Word of God. It is like a fire. It is like a hammer that can destroy a rock into pieces. This book can. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 that we have a powerful, mighty weapons. We're not battling. Listen, when it comes to strongholds, the weapons that we have are not carnal, but they are mighty, powerful through God to the pulling down of strongholds, even able to bring every thought into captivity to Christ. You say, what is it? It is this book, the Word of God. This is the hammer that destroys strongholds. In your life, in your family, in our culture, this is it. There's never been anything that has impacted the history of this planet like the truth of this book has. Nothing. You say, Pastor, I'm worried about the election. Just hang on to this book. Believe it. Stand on it. Embrace it. He says, is there any hope? As long as we got this book, there's hope. Amen. Amen. He said, think there'll ever be a revival? As long as we stick with this book, there could be. It's the hammer that destroys strongholds. That's the reason why you can't battle in the terms of spiritual warfare. You cannot battle and resist the enemy without this book. Where are we at with Greg Brett? Number 9, aren't we? Can you believe it? It's amazing, isn't it? Number 9? And it's only Sunday night. Number 9, are you ready? This book is the escape that Jesus exampled. You remember the verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, don't you? It's one of the classic verses when it comes to dealing with temptation or the attacks of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And that is it. Listen to me now. There's not any temptation that the devil can throw at you that God has not provided a way of escape, so that you don't have to yield to that temptation, so that you don't have to bow under his torment. Listen, so you don't have to step into his trap, and so that you don't have to believe his lies. There's not anything the devil doesn't throw at you that God hasn't made a way for you to be able to withstand that temptation and not yield to it. Listen, God has made a way of escape. You say, Pastor, what is that way of escape? Well, I tell you that, listen to me now, one of the ways of escape, listen, is this book. It's the Word of God. So how do you know? Jesus showed us in his example, didn't he? Remember when Jesus was being tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter number 4? The Bible says he'd been fasting and praying, and all of a sudden the devil shows up on the scene. The purpose of this is so that Jesus can demonstrate his authority and power over the devil. Spirit led him into the wilderness, the Lord Jesus, to be tempted of the devil. And it was while he was being tempted that Jesus never one time ever yielded to the temptations of the devil. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Son of God, and he's demonstrating that by defeating the devil. There was never one time that Jesus ever yielded to the temptation, never one time that he ever sinned or ever could sin because of who he is. He's the Christ, the Son of God. But he demonstrated for us in this great battle in the wilderness the way of escape. How did Jesus overcome the devil? Not yield to his temptation, but escape from them, so that by the end of this battle, the devil had to flee from him. Yeah, at least for a season, he was gone. How did Jesus do that? With the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you that this is the living Word here in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus. But he is depending on the written Word as he battles against the temptations of the enemy. That is, when the devil came to him and said, listen, see these stones? Why don't you just turn them into bread? Why, if you're the Son of God, if that's who you really are. I mean, the Father just said that in the previous chapter as Jesus was being baptized. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And John the Baptist is bearing witness. And the devil comes along and says, well, if you really are, then why don't you satisfy yourself? That may sound to you a little bit like the lust of the flesh. Why don't you go ahead and satisfy yourself? Turn these stones into bread. Now, this is a real temptation because Jesus is really hungry. But Jesus responded by quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Took him up onto a pinnacle of the temple, a high point in the temple, probably Solomon's porch. And said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you jump? Why, the Bible says that he'll give his angels charge concerning thee. They'll bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Listen, if you'll do that, it'll put on a big display for everybody to see. Why don't you go ahead and do that? Sounds like the pride of life, doesn't it? And that if you'll do that, everybody will think you're somebody. Go ahead, Jesus, and jump. And Jesus responded by quoting again from the Old Testament. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And as he stand there looking at it, tempting him with the lust of the eyes, he's standing there looking at all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, if you'll just bow down to me, I'll give you all of them. And you can be a world ruler. Tempting him to bypass the suffering and the agony of the cross, the purpose and the will for which he came. And Jesus, again, quoting from the Bible, said, get thee hence behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil left him, fleeing. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Jesus knew the way of escape that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 10. And he's exemplifying it for us. You know what it is? It's this book. Remember the word that we hide away in our hearts? Jesus had it in his heart, in his soul. He is the Word. And ladies and gentlemen, it is this Word that is the escape from temptation. That's the reason why that you can't resist the attacks of the enemy if you will not embrace the Scriptures. Number 10, the last one. That is the reason why we must embrace the Scriptures if we're going to resist the attacks of the enemy, is because the Word of God is the truth that frees the captives. It is the truth that frees the captives. John 8, the classic passage about being set free. Listen to what it says. John chapter number 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. They said they believed on him. And Jesus said, if you're really my disciples, then I'll know it because you will continue in my word. And if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Amen. Now, lest that verse be used out of context, as it is commonly in our society, Jesus defined what he means. That is, the Jewish leader said, what do you mean be made free? We're not servants to anybody. We're not servants to any master. What do you mean be set free? And Jesus said that whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. What he is talking about is indeed the trap of the enemy, and that is the enslavement to sin that you and I are born into in our fallen humanity. And here's what he's saying, that the only way to be set free from the trap of sin is to continue in my word. And if you will, you'll know the truth. And it is the truth that will set you free. Remember how the devil operates, don't you, on the basis of lies and deception, as demonstrated in the Garden of Eden with Eve. The only way to be set free is by the truth Do you know that there are many people that are lost that have believed a lie? Well, the only way that a lost person who knows they're lost can comfort themselves is by believing a lie. Because if you really were to believe the truth, you would be broken before God over your lost condition, over the horrors of hell that await. It is only those who believe a lie that can find comfort as they journey through this life, knowing that they're lost, that at any moment they could find themselves separated from God in a place of torment. The only way to freedom is truth. And listen, the source of truth is this book. After you get saved, the devil's still trying to lie. He's trying to trip you up. He's trying to trap you in some kind of a sin that will destroy you, that will destroy your testimony, that will destroy the length of your life. He's trying to destroy you. Listen, the only way to discover the freedom that is available in Christ is by continuing in His Word, knowing the truth, and the truth will set you free. Paul was writing to Timothy about helping people who had been taken captive by the devil. And here's what he wrote to him, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. He said to Timothy, the servant of the Lord must not strive. That means, if Timothy, if you're going to be a servant of God, you can't go around fighting and be full of strife. Don't get caught up in all the fighting and quarreling that is going on. But he has to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, ready to teach, and patient. And here's what he's got to do. In meekness, instructing those. That is, taking the word of God and instructing those that oppose themselves. That is, there are those who are actually opposed to themselves and actually destroying themselves. If God peradventure, Timothy, teach those who are trying to destroy themselves. Because God may, if God peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That is, if you'll teach them, God may help them to see the truth. And when they see the truth, if they ever see the truth, God will give them a repentant, a broken heart. A repentant heart. And then in verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now if you go backwards in that passage, here's what it means. There are those that the devil has got captured. That is, they've stepped into his snare and he has captured them. And they are in a snare, they are captured by the devil. And those who are in a snare and captured by him cannot get free themselves. They're snared by him. Captured by him to the extent that they actually oppose themselves. They're actually destroying themselves. And the reason why, that even though they can't see it, they have snapped into a snare of the evil one and are actually destroying themselves. Timothy, listen, don't get caught up in striving. You be gentle, you be patient, but you teach and you instruct them, because it is only through the instruction of the Word of God that God may be able to work in their life and they will acknowledge the truth and God will give them repentance, brokenness before God, a turning to Him so that they might be delivered and set free from the snare that they're in. You say, Pastor, I know some folks that are in a snare. They don't know that it's the snare of the devil, but it is. And they're destroying themselves. And I don't know what the answer is. It's this book. It's this book. Only way they'll get free is if somebody gently, lovingly, and patiently teaches them this book. Some of you got some people that you've been fighting with. Stop fighting and start teaching. That's what he's telling Timothy. Because God might, listen, if there's any hope, it's from the teaching of this book for those who are snared by the devil, for them to ever get free, to experience real repentance. That's the reason why, when it comes to spiritual warfare, when it comes to resisting the attacks of the enemy, when it comes to invading the enemy's territory that he already has conquered, people's lives who are already on the road to destruction, when it comes to invading those lives and setting them free, this book is the key to setting them free. Teaching, instructing this book. It's the truth that frees the captives. And it's for that reason, ladies and gentlemen, that we must embrace the Scriptures if we're going to be able to resist the attacks of the enemy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and your people and the work that you're doing in our hearts and what you're trying to teach us, Lord, about the importance of your word. I pray, Father, that you would operate in us. Father, you know our hearts tonight. And God, what it is that we need this evening, I pray for those who are here that need to grow in the word and those who need to hide it in their hearts, those whose lives, Father, are filled with so many other things but not your word, that God, you would do a work in us. God, that you would correct us and that, Father, you begin to operate in us so that, Father, not only will we be filled with the word, but that we'll also be sharers of the word, not only saturated with it, but sharing with others, so that others who are caught in the snare of the evil one, that they also might be delivered and set free by the truth of your word. Father, I pray for those who are here that are lost, that you might draw them to yourself, save them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.